can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to the post-game podcast with Jerry out in Minnesota. I've got the Eddie Scazzeri with me today. Good morning, Eddie.
Hello, podcast people.
Hello to the podcast people.
This was an unscheduled appearance.
Yeah, Jerry's flight was leaving
early.
Earlier than usual. In fact, he had to leave the program at 9:15.
He did.
After the 9:15 segment.
Yes.
How often do you go to YouTube to try to find something?
To find like specific,
like something pops in your head and you go, let me see if I would be interested in seeing that.
Well, it's rare. I will go to YouTube for to watch old Mystery Science Theater 3000 episodes.
Do they have the full ones on there?
Yes. I don't know if they're supposed to, but obviously, you know, they can't track everything.
Right.
So most of them get through, and I will go for certain. There's this one physicist I like, Sabine Hassenfelder or something like that.
Sabine Hassenfelder?
Yeah. I know.
That sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah. I've talked to you about her before, and I'll occasionally seek out some of her things, or sometimes something because of the algorithms or whatever, things will pop up about, you know, Pleistocene megafauna or whatever, gigantic aquatic reptiles, carnivorous, or something like that. So most of those things just pop up. But to actually seek something out that's like topical or in the news, it's rare.
Or just something that even like, I find myself going to YouTube a lot I'll think of something and be like, oh, let me see if I can, oh, that reminds me of this episode of this or the time Howard Stern said this. Let me see if I can find that.
Yeah, that's rare for me. Like, my triggers are not for visual media. Like, if something pops into my head, I usually go to Wikipedia. And then if something in the Wikipedia may cause me to search out a video, but it's very rare. Most of my deep dives are basically on Wikipedia and then maybe links off of that to other like scientific articles, because you know I'm a weirdo, I understand, but you know, that's usually how I spend my free internet time, if you will.
I do like the YouTube algorithm, so a lot of times they do send me, like, put on my front page things that I am interested in.
Yeah,
what's weird is when they'll sometimes throw things up there that you've watched a bunch of times. Maybe they think like, hey, maybe you want to watch this again.
Yeah, perhaps.
I do find it odd though. When I go, like, I feel like everything is on YouTube. Like, you can find anything. So occasionally when I go to look for something and can't find it, I'm so thrown off and can't believe it. I'll give you an example. So I heard that Kinks song, Catch Me Now I'm Falling.
Yes.
Song's been around forever. Got to be the 70s, I think, or maybe early 80s.
I would say 70s.
70s or 81 at the latest, right? So there is a great piano part in the beginning. Like it's a great intro, great piano intro. And I've looked for the sheet music. I cannot find it anywhere. When I find compilations of Kink, of songbooks by the Kinks, that song's never in there. There are so many people playing instruments on YouTube, everything you can think of. There's not a single person on YouTube playing that piano intro to Catch Me Now I'm Falling, and I couldn't believe it. Like, I want to learn how to play it. I can't find the sheet music. I can't find anybody on the internet playing it. So kind of surprised me. That's a popular song. It's been around forever. There were multiple ways for that to be appearing on YouTube, and it's simply not there.
Now, the song itself you can get.
Oh, yeah. And people showing you how to play it on the guitar. Many people playing it on guitar.
But not with the sheet music.
Not with the sheet music. And you know, there are websites that have the sheet music where you can buy the sheet music. It just doesn't exist.
And so you can't buy the sheet music.
I cannot find it to even purchase it.
Wow. Well, if someone out there knows or can help or has an ear for music, because you're not one who can say, oh, that's E, F, this, that, this.
And I can find, you know what? I can find the chords for it, because there are online communities that Guitar Chords is a is a website and an app called Guitar Chords, but you can, all chords are chords. So an F sharp on the guitar is an F sharp on the piano.
So when these, you said there are videos of people playing it on guitar.
Yeah.
And do they say what the chords are?
No, but I can find the chords online.
Okay.
But it's the individual, in the beginning of Catch Me Now I'm Falling, it's very individual piano notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have an ear for that. And I had a guy named Dan in Boston who used to talk back and forth on DM. He was a musician. And he did, I do remember asking him about this one. And he sent me a version of it, but it doesn't sound exactly like it. I want the sheet music for it. I don't know why it doesn't exist.
And how does the intro go again? Can you hum it or sing it, or
it's like do 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 do. It's just, and it's a long, very, very distinct piano.
Is this the one? This is Captain America. Yeah.
And I appreciate that song by the Kinks.
Yes,
because that's a song about they're British.
Yes,
they're not from America.
Right.
But I believe, I remember I did a deep dive into this. I mean, you could just judge it by the lyrics, but I sometimes need the lyrics explained to me. It's a song about, like, America's always helping these other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then when America needs help, ain't no one around to back us up.
Right. That was in the, you, I guess, punks. It was late 70s, oil crisis.
Yeah.
Iran, a hostage thing. I'm not exactly sure of the timing of the song.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, but it was saying, like, hey, you know, these people helped us win World War II and then gave aid to many countries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now they're kind of a little down on their luck and nobody wants to help them.
Correct. And we'll remember, when you need help, Captain America ain't going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. The Kinks, I feel like the Kinks should be up there. Like, people always go Beatles, right?
Yes.
Beatles and Stones.
Stones. Mm-hmm.
The Who is up there.
Sure.
Led Zeppelin. I rarely hear people say the Kinks.
Yes.
And they had hits in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and then even in the 90s. I think the 90s they even had songs on the radio, early 90s.
Yeah, they are very, very underrated.
Very underrated. And in fact, they're one of these bands that has, I remember when you would buy CDs as opposed to, or buy cassettes, they had, the Kinks had a greatest hits that was just like the 60s and early 70s. Then they had a second greatest hits that was all their stuff from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
like
I had
the MTV era.
I had the greatest hits that had Come Dancing on it.
Come Dancing, yeah, that one was.
And Catch Me Now I'm Falling might be on that.
It is on that one, yeah.
And then there was that sort of, it wasn't called Greatest Hits, but it was the Kinks Chronicles.
Yes, Kinks Chronicles.
With a K and a K, you know, for
yes.
Chronicles. And, yeah, there's a bunch of cool songs on that one. Like Polly is a great song that's on Kinks Chronicles, I believe. Do you know that song?
No. See, I don't think I know that.
Pretty, pretty Pollyanna. Pretty, pretty Polly. Yeah. It's a great, and it's, you know, it's one of their earlier, simpler songs. But there's so many, like Waterloo Sunset, I love. Ape Man, I love.
I'm an ape man. Yeah, I'm an ape, yeah. Ape man.
Yeah. And Supersonic Rocket Ship,
yeah,
is a great song. Yeah, there's so many.
Here's another one people wouldn't think about. Victoria, great song.
Yes, yes.
Victoria. Yeah. Victoria.
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 And then the Village Green Preservation Society. It was just awesome.
Okay, so you mentioned this, King Chronicles. I'm not even aware of this one, but there's a ton of stuff on there. They had,
I think Polly is on there if you have a track listing, I think.
It is. It is on there. But they had the album, I forget what album was, Come Dancing with the Kinks was a greatest hits record. And that had You Really Got Me, live version.
Right.
Because the original version was
60s.
Is on the previous record. Destroyer, Paranoia,
yeah.
Wish I Could Fly Like Superman.
And Destroyer, I think, like, has a throwback line to the other song you just mentioned, the first one, they did the live version.
Really Got Me?
I think.
Yeah. Man, they just have so
either
many
that
things.
Or one of their other early hits that sounds similar to You Really Got Me.
I mean, just a ton of things here.
And like you said, like, you know, and maybe it's not like a, although I think Waterloo Sunset should be up there, but not like a, you know, a song that people will constantly reference, like, you know, like the Beatles, like Hey Jude, or, you know, Here Comes the Sun, or whatever, something that, you know, everyone knows. They don't have maybe one of those songs. Now, obviously, Lola.
Lola,
but
yep.
Again, it's not considered in the same level or spectrum as some of these other big hits. And I don't know why, but yeah, very underrated.
Very strange.
And whenever Joe B would fill in, and I would hit him with a Kinks song, he's like, man, you really like the Kinks. Like, he doesn't not like them, but he
doesn't think of them either.
Yes. Yeah. And he's a music guy.
People are not thinking of the Kinks.
Yeah.
There's a Green Day song I play as bumper music that you always ask if it's the Kinks.
Picture Book.
Picture Book is the song by the Kinks, but I play Warning by Green Day.
And it's got the same intro.
Same intro. Dun, 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 yeah, that's crazy.
Picture Book.
Yeah.
Pictures of your mama.
And this one goes, Warning, man.
But they reference, they acknowledge the tribute, yes?
Green Day that did? I don't know.
I thought you looked that up once.
I thought I Googled it and they said that.
That, yeah.
Maybe. I'd have to Google that, but man, that's good. But every once in a while, it doesn't happen often. When I go looking for something on YouTube and it's not there, it's so really surprising every once in a while.
And then the Pretenders song, Stop Your Sobbing,
yeah,
was a Kinks song from the 60s.
Right.
And it's a great version.
It is.
And they were, obviously, they dated Chrissy Hynde and
Ray Davies.
Yeah. So maybe that's why she thought to cover it.
Which is also what he... That the Kinks, Ray Davies, it was two brothers, Ray and Dave Davies, and their song "Better Things," the Kinks song, which is on their greatest hits record, is he says a song for her about their divorce. I hope tomorrow you'll find better things.
Right, and I don't know if she did "Stop Your Sobbing" as sort of after the breakup as a little FU. I don't know.
I'll have to check that out.
I don't know if that or if she did that while they were still together, and she did it more as a tribute to him. I don't know the answer to that.
Pretenders, another group with a bunch of hits.
Yes, not, but certainly not as long a career or as many hits.
Yeah. That was great. Like back in the day when you would have to buy CDs or albums or cassettes, when you stumbled upon a greatest hits of somebody you weren't that familiar with and you got the greatest hits, what a bargain. Like you got all these songs on one a CD as opposed to... Yeah, you get a CD, like one or two songs, and the rest just kind of sits there. When you could get when you first discovered a band that you really liked and they had already been out and they had the greatest hits, oh, man. Because then you could pick, like, in particular, like these two songs, they're both from this record. I'm going to go get that record next.
Yeah, like, and Gordon Lightfoot would be a guy, like, for me, like, I don't know if I would like all of his, you know, all the other cuts on the album, but his hits I really like.
And what? Give me a Gordon Lightfoot one.
Sundown.
Sundown.
Yeah. And then he did The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
He did If You Could Read My Mind, Love.
Another good
and
one.
And he has about eight, I would guess, that you would know.
Sundown's a great song.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Man.
And I believe he's passed, and also I believe he's Canadian. I think those... Both of those things are true.
You believe he has passed away and he's a Canadian.
Yeah, and I think within the last 18 months, I think he passed.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And we didn't give him a tribute here?
No. Yeah, I don't know if it made your show sheet.
Sundown. I like giving tributes to music people.
I know you do.
It's weird. Like, I am bothered when musical people pass away because I feel like their songs are sort of ghosts of them.
Yes.
Like you can really hear them. It's weird. Like you hear them in their songs, but the songs take on a more haunting effect for me.
Oh, sure.
After they've passed.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was certain artists that, you know, when they pass, it really, well, obviously John Lennon, even though I was very young, I was still, you know, into the Beatles and was aware. And you know, when Bowie passed, that hit me
really.
Petty,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, you know, certain guys more than others that I felt whatever I had a more of a connection to their music.
Yeah, there were two when I was younger that passed away that I didn't have a connection with, but after I heard of their death, hearing their music was very haunting. One, Roy Orbison, because
mm-hmm.
of his voice.
Sure.
And to hear that after he passed away
mm-hmm.
was weird. And then the other one was Del Shannon, who had one hit, I think, in the 50s, Runaway. You know that song,
okay,
Runaway?
Yes.
But that song, if you know the guy shot himself, which he did, he's got a very haunting voice, and in that old style recording,
yes.
feels very
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, with that echo chamber going on.
Yeah, with the echo chamber, and there's certain like that guy had a lot of feeling in the vocals of that song.
Mm-hmm.
So to go back and listen to that, even hear it now, feels
and then Roy Orbison wasn't long after the Wilburys
yeah.
formed that he passed, right?
Yeah. So yeah, he passed. He was on both of their records.
Mm-hmm.
The Wilburys. And then, strangely, Del Shannon, they were going to bring into the Wilburys when he killed himself.
Mm.
And in fact, they recorded, the Traveling Wilburys recorded a version of Runaway with him.
Wow.
That they were going to, it's on there. It's now, they had put out a box set, which is on all the streaming services. It was like their first two records and a couple songs.
And I'm sure it's on YouTube.
And it's on YouTube, yeah.
And speaking of the Wilburys, maybe think of another very, in my opinion, underrated band, although maybe they might even get as much or as about the same amount of recognition as the Kinks, is ELO.
Yeah.
Because of Jeff Lynne. But
yeah.
Yeah, they might have 20 radio hits.
Yeah, I don't think of them either.
Yeah.
I put them in the same category as that band Boston, which is I don't know who the lead singer of Boston was.
Nor I.
Jeff Lynne, I know, is the name, but I know Jeff Lynne more as a producer for all these other.
Mm-hmm.
He did records, Tom Petty records,
sure,
Roy Orbison records, the Wilburys, and I know him, but he doesn't seem like a front man, which is how I tend to identify these bands. So it's like Boston and ELO, they didn't have a dominant front man to me. Mm-hmm. That they had a lot of hits in those days.
Yeah, but I think he was the front man, I think, of
Jeff
Lynne. ELO.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I still
and
don't.
And he's got a very distinctive voice.
Yeah. He is still alive.
Yes.
The Traveling Wilburys, during that era, those guys just, they were on each other's records, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at the time period that those two records were, just before those records came out and just after, there's a period there with, like, George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, even Roger McGuinn from the Byrds. They put out, those guys were all involved in all these records, either as producer, co-writer. They had just such a prolific couple of years there where they were hanging out together,
right,
in the studio and writing all these songs.
And not so much Petty, because he was still younger and maybe in where he was writing hits.
Yeah, but it was when Petty put out the record without the Heartbreakers, which was Full Moon Fever, that mm-hmm. first one. And that had all those guys, Jeff Lynne, George Harrison, they all, that was in that time period.
But they talk about musicians, they have their peak time,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then afterwards they don't write. But yet all these guys, air quotes, past their prime, Harrison, Dylan, Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne, not putting out radio hits anymore.
Right.
But yet when they got together, there was something about that combination that allowed them to recapture some of that magical songwriting.
Yes. Yeah.
And because usually when, you know, at past a certain point, it's like, no, nobody wants to hear, you know, a new Paul McCartney record or this past a certain point in his writing career.
Right.
Because, you know, you only have so many hits in you. But yet when they got together, there was something about that gestalt that helped produce these hits.
Yes, the gestalt.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also still at a time when the classic rock stations would play a new song
mm-hmm.
by somebody
yesterday and today.
Yeah, who was one of their core artists.
Yes.
And having all those guys in the same band, the yes. Traveling Wilburys, K-Rock would play that. Plus, that song was really good, Handle With Care, when it first came out.
They had many, eight to ten solid radio hits?
I don't know if they got that many on the radio.
Five, six?
They had End of the Line, Handle With Care.
Yeah, I'm not good with this.
Yeah, I don't remember. I would say all of the songs on the albums were very catchy.
Very good, yeah.
And very good, yeah. So I enjoyed that.
Yes, and the Yesterday and Today, I like that.
Yeah, Meg Griffin with the Yesterday and Today set. She had another thing she
used to
do. And
it doesn't have to be old to be classic.
Yes, just has to be great rock and roll. She also used to do a thing called Go Figure.
Yes.
Meg Griffin did.
Yeah.
You remember what that was about?
Yeah, that was like you would have to, it's kind of like the 3 at 3 that I think, is it Dashow does?
Oh, does he do that?
On K-Rock, where, you know, you have to figure out the clues, the links between three songs.
Yes.
But this was a similar thing. Yeah. I think that might have been Chernoff's.
Chernoff came up with Go Figure?
I think.
I got to ask him about that.
And it might have started with, is Flo and Eddie, was that possible?
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
But I remember Meg Griffin doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she'd play three songs, and you could call in at the start of the third song if you knew what the link was.
Right.
I used to like to play that game.
Yes, and it was sometimes it's like this because they still do it. I think it's Dashow does it
on what Q104 now
on Q. Yeah, because I do still occasionally listen to terrestrial radio when I'm not with an audiobook.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I got satellite for a long time. I had it when it first came out. I was excited about satellite radio. And I was listening to all of my music that way. Then I went back. I'm back to the radio now. I do like the, like for me, I do like the local feel of not only the New York stations, but like the Jersey Shore stations.
Sure.
It does feel a little different than listening to a national, you know, if I want music like that, I'll put on Spotify. But I do like somebody picking the music for me.
And I know a lot of places do voice tracking now anyway, but there are still certain ones that do live. And I think there will always be a place for live local radio. It's just it's a different connection. And perhaps when this younger generation gets older, they may discover it and, you know, it will keep it going. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think it's got a decent chance, and especially for, you know, talk formats.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I am conscious now, like yesterday it was, or 2 days ago when we had the really nice day, 60-something degrees. I'm conscious now like, when cars go by with their windows rolled down, I like to see what they're listening to. Are they listening to local radio? Do they have some sort of music on that I hear is coming from where you don't hear anything in between, no like whoosh, with the station name and everything.
Right.
I like to see like what people are consuming in their cars.
But if it's not music, it's usually not blasting at a volume that
that's
you'd
true.
Be able to pick up when they drive past.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's blasting Evan and Tiki, you wouldn't think.
No.
You know, now if they're at a work site and they have it and they're doing something or working in the yard, maybe, but not like driving past, it's usually music that is blasting.
Theo Vaughn, this comedian who also has a podcast that I enjoy, he oftentimes talks about his dad was very old when he had him. I think he was like 70.
Wow, okay.
Or he was 70 when he was a teenager or something. But he says that his dad bought a car from a guy in the neighborhood who had booming bass speakers. That was the speakers that were in the car that he purchased. And he would be blasting Paul Harvey and old AM talk radio through. He said you'd hear the big bass coming in, and it was like AM talk and news. And how strange that was.
Yeah, you don't really hear that.
No, you do not hear that. You can hear sometimes if somebody has it on loud enough.
Yeah, but not from radio. Like some of the people that are really blasting the music, you hear from a block away or more.
Especially ever hear a motorcyclist that's blasting music because the motorcycle is loud.
I have not noticed that. No.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they just do it like driving down the shore that they cruise the Ocean Avenue a lot.
Yes.
They're blasting
Yeah, I don't have that.
For music.
And also, they're not going as fast, so it's,
right.
You know, they can hear it.
Right.
Yeah. I know. I have not experienced that.
I do like going past a car that has WFAN on.
Yes,
like,
I do too.
A delivery driver that's mm-hmm. parked and
sure.
you walk by.
Absolutely.
You hear it. Or yeah. I have guys in town. My man Simon, who I see him sometimes painting porches, mm-hmm. doing a work around the
right,
town.
That, and he's right. Got, you, see, you hear that a lot.
Yeah.
You people doing that kind of work outside or even people tending to their own lawn
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, I like whatever. That. I'll hear Evan and Tiki.
Yeah, or people like, you know, barbecuing or whatever.
Yeah, it's cool.
It is, of course.
That's sometimes you forget sometimes when you work here that it's going out to people. I'm like, oh, yeah. This is
yeah,
people.
Nonstop.
And also makes you think how people are consuming it, where sometimes mm-hmm. I get obsessed. I'm like, oh, my God, we keep talking about the same thing. But if you're painting a porch, putting an addition on a house, you can't pay attention.
You're not as hyper-focused.
Not as hyper-focused the whole time
and,
at all.
And I think, like, when you're driving, I think yeah. you are hyper-focused.
Yes.
But if you've got it on at work in the background, not so much. Whether
yeah.
that work is in an office or if you're doing something like painting or what have you, it's not you can't be. But in the car, you certainly can be.
Yeah, you are listening,
and that's why people will like stay, you know, in the car and you know listen to the end of a segment. Like Gio today wanted to hear the end of your fight with CeeLo.
Right, me and CeeLo were going at it.
Although I will say. Now, in terms of like your hyper focus for a talk and a discussion or an interview, play by play on the radio, I find myself drifting.
All the time, me too. Very difficult.
To really lock in. Now, obviously, there's certain moments and times when you, but I have to tell my brain to make a point to listen. Whereas with my audiobooks or with talk radio,
yeah.
I don't have to make that point. And it's a weird thing.
I agree totally. And I'm even like, I'll get in the car because let's say I'll be watching the late window NFL game, 4 mm-hmm. o'clock game, and I'm going to drive home from Gina's house to my house. And I've been watching the game, and I'm invested.
Yes.
I get in the car, I turn on the radio version of it. I'm like, okay. I'll like say to myself, pay attention.
Right, right.
Where's the ball?
Uh-huh.
Picture it in your head. They're on the 20. And still,
yes.
like two plays, and I'm like, wait a minute. What is this?
What is going on?
Do you find baseball easier than football?
Yes, because the pace of the game.
Yeah, it's true. The
is
pace.
True, and also I don't know why, but visually when they're describing it, I can see it in my mind much more than football.
Yeah,
maybe it's because you know it hit to center field. You know, it drops back in the flat and blah, 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 you know whatever. It's just for me like the. The description of baseball on the radio paints the picture in my mind much better than football. And forget basketball and hockey.
Oh, yeah, impossible.
I'm out.
Impossible.
I mean, I can understand if they, you know, they give the score or in hockey when they actually score the goal. It's, you know, it's obvious. But in terms of seeing it in my mind, no.
Yeah. I even try, like, Bob Papa will be like, oh, the Giants are in their white pants and blue jerseys.
Yeah.
And
no, see, that doesn't matter to me.
But, and they're moving right to left. I just try to do it for the visual, and I still will drift.
But also, think about the complexity of every single football play and the blocking schemes and the
right.
Secondary receiver, tertiary receiver, this and that, you know, crossing back. You know, but baseball, it's simpler. There's not as much, like, you know, football's a It's chess, sort
yeah.
of, with real people moving around and blocking. With baseball, it's not that. You know, it's like the ball is pitched, and then the ball is either hit, or it's a strike, or it's a ball, whatever. So you can kind of visualize it, in my opinion, much easier.
Yeah. I also like that, for the most part, until you get into a little bit of the later innings when they're doing pitching changes, for the most part, they only go to a commercial at a nice, convenient time, end mm-hmm. of an inning.
Right.
Where football be like a timeout, boom, they go to a commercial.
Or injury.
And it throws it off.
It does. Yeah, there is a pattern to it. Like Jerry always talks about the late window national broadcasts for TV. If there is a 1 o'clock game that goes long, because it's the national broadcast, it can't – national broadcast cannot go to a commercial until all the markets have joined. So if you have a 1 o'clock that goes into overtime, you may get through the whole first quarter. Now, they're allowed to take the end of the first quarter break, but you may go throughout the whole first quarter, and it's happened. I've been part of broadcasts where this happened, where you do not take a break because there was a 1 o'clock that went late, and so that network couldn't join.
It's funny. I've never noticed that in all my years.
And then in the second quarter, you've got to do 10 breaks.
I feel like I've noticed.
As opposed to five.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it's 5 and 5. It used to be 4 and 4 or 4 and 5, something, but you get the point. So, yeah, that there is a pattern and a schedule to it. And, you know, they'll do a kickoff, then break after, you know, there'll be a touchdown scored. Then they'll go to break. Then after the kickoff, they break again if they need the breaks. That's a way to get two for one, sort of.
Yeah.
But kickoffs are so boring now that.
Right. It's pointless. It's like, and then it's break. Right. Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah.
Let's do the warm-up show.
All right.
Oh, I did that with CeeLo today. It got fiery.
Feisty.
It was very feisty. First segment in particular.
First
very
segment
feisty.
Is CeeLo. The very tail end of the second segment, CeeLo. And then third segment, everything's okay.
Yes. But that first segment, ooh, buddy.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Go freaking do it.
Then go freaking do it, man. Totally, man. So.